Timer's running. Hey, everybody. I'm Matt.
And I'm Alan.
And we're back for week three of the Shattered Spire.
We have covered a casino, a hotel, kind of the culture of the gilded versus the plated sections of the spire. We've talked a little bit about kind of the neutral ground in the middle.
Yeah, and we've talked about a lot of the kind of the core formulas of how this place operates.
But what we haven't really talked about are the inhabitants of the spire. Who lives there? Why? And what are they doing?
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do this week. And there are a few kind of key areas that I want us to delineate here first, like some groups. Okay? So we have the council.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we have the elementals that will need names, but we'll get to them maybe last, unless you have some ideas. Okay. We'll need some sort of a couple of like key faces on both the gilded and plated side.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone that's kind of a key face there at that neutral zone mall space in between.
Mm-hmm.
We'll need the guy who runs the casino, the Soul Needle. We'll need the person who runs the resort, which we should also name. And maybe a couple faces or something for the rest of the Taurus.
Cool beans.
So, where do we want to start?
Well, I just had a thought pop in my head.
Okay.
So, you said the tourists, and I immediately go to who welcomes you when you arrive to the spire.
Well, I said tourists, but yes, tourists.
Oh, that makes more sense.
But this is good. This is still, like, it's in that role.
What if they are golems?
Golems?
Yeah. Imbued with magitech. So they are a combination of magic technology and golem-ness. So you have some that are tied to the earth elemental, some that are tied to air. But they're essentially robots, but magic?
Oh, Alan. Okay. So I love this idea. Let's shy away from doing anything that's kind of like Warforged or even kind of traditional D&D golem for this.
Okay.
Let's model these on the 10th Doctor adventure from Doctor Who, The Girl in the Fireplace.
Oh my god, I love The Girl in the Fireplace. That is like one of my favorite episodes of Doctor Who.
So we got some beautiful clockwork.
Mm-hmm.
Except I do want them to be tied to
Madame du Pompadour. Sorry.
I shouldn't have gotten you started. I knew that was dangerous ground.
I love it.
But I still want to keep them tied to the elementals. So I think they'll have like maybe like a piece of the elemental essence is powering them.
Yes.
So I want to keep that flavor. And I kind of
maybe that's what makes the clockwork run.
Yeah.
That's their heart?
Yeah. And kind of low-key, that's also, like, part of the awareness. Like, the awareness is magical and kind of just all-consuming, but it's also, like, kind of directly expressed in these.
Right.
Or maybe it goes the other way, where these automatons are such good, like, hosts and information points because they're tied into that awareness.
Okay.
But what I'm picturing is kind of a humaniform automaton that's all like clockwork and maybe some of that like clear plexi in places,
mm-hmm.
But also just like brass and copper plating and things like that.
Absolutely. And vaguely human faces?
I was actually thinking no face.
Ooh.
Instead of a face, like in the head region, there's a box for the voice, of course, and like even maybe some no clear visual inner face going on,
mm-hmm.
but the rest of the traditional face zone is taken up by almost like a concave oval shape.
Mm-hmm.
That has just kind of a magically contained liquid behind a plexi shield. And it does, it's an artifact that's imbued with a kind of minor illusion spell, and it does advertisements.
Ooh, I like that.
So it'll be like, go visit the beautiful Soul Needle, the pride, or go visit the resort, the pride of the tourists. And, or it can also, like, if your shop is wealthy enough, you can be like, hey, get my shop on there. Like, for all of your chainmail needs, go see Hrothgar.
Yeah, I like that. I also like, because one of the things that I believe we talked about last time was how eyes and ears play a really big, important role in the Shattered Spire and in the Tauros and all of that. These are the elemental's eyes and ears, and they're literally everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, like I feel like we had talked about the employees at the resort are kind of recruited out of the slums of the Tauros and kind of trained and then sent out to counter the council's agents. And I feel like they're probably more off station.
Right.
Or maybe even on the spire itself. But yeah, I like that these kind of welcome bots are the ones on the Tauros.
And they're ancient. And, like, you know, they've been around for such a long time, nobody remembers exactly where they came from.
It's definitely, like, whoever first built this and whoever first kind of contained these original elementals who created them and channeled them and contained them probably built these things as well, or built the factory somewhere near the heart of the station that makes them.
See, I was thinking they're self-replicating.
Okay. No, I like that. I like that. Because so that can lead to some good prompts later on.
So, essentially, I see that there is kind of a hive mother, almost. That there is a... They keep a count of exactly how many there need to be.
Well, we're going to need to define that.
Well, right. But they keep a count of it. And if something gets damaged, if something breaks, if something becomes inoperable, that number ticks down and they create a new automaton to make up that difference.
Okay. I feel like there also needs to be something like in the automaton that if one gets damaged or even just completely destroyed, that's almost like an automatic triggered return spell that will teleport it and all of the pieces out.
Ooh, I like that. Like, the runes are all over, but they're, like, so intricately done, it just looks like a design. But every single piece on the automaton has some sort of runic...
Or even not outwardly facing, like...
Inwardly facing, no.
Yeah, so that no one can really see it to try to disrupt it. Mm-hmm. So you can't, like, break one of these to take its heart and use that against the elementals. Everything just poofs away. But at the same time, like, if you happen to be in an area and you need some privacy, I'm gonna go just pay this urchin who's gonna go and crack the face screen of this automaton so the elementals can't directly see what's going on.
But the question then becomes, is the fact that they're the eyes and ears of the elementals common knowledge?
I don't think it's common knowledge unless you're, like, a lifer, almost. And then, even then, it's not common knowledge. But, like, I'm sure there's a degree of the criminal underworld that knows it. Mm-hmm. There's probably, like, the high-ranking families probably know it. The casino and the resort certainly know it.
Oh, of course they do. But the resort works for the elementals anyway.
Yeah, so that's not an issue.
They have the blessing of the elementals. Now, we had kind of discussed that the casino had a triad, but it's not a triad anymore. It's just one person who's doing illusion magic.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something that we want to stick with? And if so, are they a neutral party? Are they more towards, you know, the council? Are they more towards the elementals?
Oh, they were part of the council, is what we had said.
Oh, that's right. And they were just pretending.
Well, I think it was, like, part of a trade. Is like, hey, I'm going to be able to, like, make this spy network for you. I just need a seat at the table kind of deal. When a spot opens up, I need a seat. Well, here's an interesting wrinkle on the casino guy. I think there's an option when we get to him. There's an option to choose whether or not we want to cast him as purely villainous or more just kind of lawful evil. But we'll get there. What else do we need to know about these automatons? Do we? I mean, we've kind of established a pretty interesting thing here. Like, I imagine most of the time they just serve to kind of direct people. Maybe they're kind of a law enforcement branch as well, a little bit.
Okay. I like that. I like them being kind of law enforcement. Are they on the Spire at all?
If they are, I think they're limited to the mall. The neutral ground right in the middle.
Or they're servants.
Oh, so there's different models. I dig that, and I think what part of the deal has to be is it's kind of common knowledge, but it's like the price to live there. Right? So you can be this great house in the Gilded Side. And you can study whatever branch of magic you want. You can do your experiments as long as it doesn't damage the station. Don't plot directly against the elementals. Don't go against the will of the council. You can do all that. Here's the price. Every member of your family that's in the Spire has to have a soul needle. And you have to have X number of the automatons in residence.
Ooh, I like that.
And they are, like, when they're there, as long as you're keeping to your end of the deal, not plotting against the elementals, not violating their commands, not working against the council or violating their rules, and as long as you are a fully incorporated citizen of the Spire with the soul needle and everything, they will serve you as a loyal servant. Like, I won't say that they're going to keep your secret, because they're kind of designed to not do that, but they won't tell others.
Right, and it's kind of a backdoor type of a situation. Like, as far as, even, like, if somehow they were able to look at the programming, whether it's the magical programming or if there's actual, like, code or however we decided to do it, the programming seems really straightforward and really... It's almost like, is it from Terry Pratchett where the golems have, or the golems have a scroll that you stick in their head?
That's traditional Hebrew lore. I don't know if Pratchett used it or not, but that's the way a golem is made in the traditional Hebrew.
I think that's how they are in Pratchett, too.
That seems like something Pratchett would keep around because he could do a lot of fun stuff with that.
Because if that's the case, then it looks... pretty straightforward, but there is a back door that, you know, the elementals can use because they are essentially a part of it, and even have them maybe designed so differently, it doesn't even look like it has a piece of the elemental inside it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, like, these are definitely
it'd be the difference between C-3PO and R2-D2.
That's what I was thinking, too, but I kind of want it to be, like, still humano form. It's just...
Right, but just completely different design. Yeah. So instead of, like, slender and elegant, maybe it's stockier because it can... Like, it's expected to lift and move and do things like that. You get what I mean?
I think what it is that there's the one design that's designed to be, like, kind of beautiful and ostentatious and showy. And then there's this other one that kind of comes in a variety of flavors in and of itself. So there's, like, the one that's designed to be, like, a manual labor servant. There's one that's designed to be, like, a butler or a concierge. Mm-hmm. And one that's even maybe, Alan, just to add a little tiny note of, that's weird, tutors.
Ooh.
Like, the kind of person, like, if you're a super rich person, even if you're an academic... you're not necessarily going to want to teach your brat. So, hey, automaton, can you teach little Jimmy all the basics, and we'll get around to figuring out the rest of his education later?
I think that's very interesting, because then you have the elementals teaching what they want taught. Which, see, here's he the thing. Who controls education is a very scary thing.
But here's the thing. I don't think the elementals manipulate anyone that way.
Okay.
Because remember, they're like a purely elemental neutral force whose entire goal is preserve the spire, and as long as they're playing by the rules, the inhabitants thereof.
True.
So, like, why wouldn't they want an educated population who could maybe make improvements or who could make better decisions that don't lead to chunks of the station just vaporizing in a magical accident?
Also very true.
So, I like, what you were saying about that being, like, kind of a weird point of control is true, and I think a lot of people on the Spire kind of look at that sideways a little bit. And, like, that's probably one of those points of contention that the Council will use eventually to kind of push for an attempt to seize control from the Elementals. But the Elementals, in all honesty, aren't using that as a point of manipulation. I don't know that they use anything as a direct point of manipulation against the population at large.
Right. Hmm. All right, so we have kind of deep dived into the automatons. I did not mean for it to take up literally 20 minutes.
No, but it was good. Let's stay on the Taurus. I think we need four people, and I'm putting a verbal asterisk next to that word. One, we need to figure out who the guy who runs the casino is, and I'll ask that question mm-hmm. about whether how villainous they are. We need the person that runs the resort, and that's one of the asterisks. That might be more than one person.
Right.
Then we need, like, maybe almost like a city council that represents the people who live on the Taurus. And then I think we need some sort of, like, guild council that works with the merchants on the Taurus.
Okay.
And maybe just, like, a couple people and kind of what their scope is for some of those. So, which of those do you want to hit first? And we'll just kind of lightning round through these and then dive onto the Spire.
So, let's start with one that we already have established. Let's start with the casino, the triad, in very heavy air quotes, because it's one dude.
So, here's the question, Alan. There are two roads for this guy to take. One, kind of the lawful evil, like he plays in the criminal underworld. He's manipulating the power structures to gain more power himself. But he's also like, he runs a casino, so there's probably an aspect of greed or at least gathering of
resource
that way. So I picture him either as lawful evil, maybe on the lawful neutral side, but or he's a completely villainous character and that I don't feel comfortable applying to the 9-block alignment grid. And the other two members of the triad aren't dead.
They're reanimated.
Or somehow otherwise enthralled to him.
Ooh.
I don't, like, that's an option that we need to discuss and we need to put out there. And okay, maybe...
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I love an awful evil villain. Because to me, villains are always the most interesting when they believe that what they're doing is right. And when he's staying within the law, he thinks what he's doing is right because he is still within the law. A good example of this, in my opinion, is Emperor Palpatine. He knew what he was doing, but because he could manipulate the law, he thought he was doing right, at least by himself. By his own set of standards and his own set of rules. I don't agree, obviously. The Emperor kind of is garbage, but he falls on the lawful evil side of the house.
Yeah, I take your point. This is not the time or place for an argument on Palpatine.
And we'll talk about that when we're off mic and probably drum up something for a fifth draw.
Yeah, maybe. We'll definitely have to talk about it later.
But I love the idea of resurrected or enthralled other members of the triad. That's just good.
Okay. Let's do this. Let's do this, Alan. Nobody knows.
Ooh. So it's just a mystery figure.
Well, no. There's the three people that are the public face of this triad of leaders. The one who is on the council and who kind of has the most active role in day-to-day management of the casino is this one guy.
Or gal.
Or, yeah, one person. We'll sort it out here in a second. They handle all that. They're on the council now. They're the ones who are recruiting the spy network for the council through the game and everything. The other two make appearances, and it's been speculated that maybe it's illusion magic, or maybe that they're undead resurrected corpses, or that they're just the same people who are just magically enthralled. Nobody knows. That way, we're not confining any DM to one choice.
Or, to throw in another rumor, it's Magitek. They always wear the same clothes, like they wear robes, essentially. And the rumor is that there has been Magitek, like, either implanted in or, like, put on, which is controlling them and is what is allowing the control of them.
Here's what it is. So one is kind of gold, one is silver, and one, probably our dude, our person that we've been talking about, is Electrum, because it's the alloy.
Right.
The alloy of the two. And so traditionally it was like the gilded side was represented by the gold member of the triad, the plated side was represented by the silver, and the Taurus was represented by the Electrum. They wear like a matching set of robes that just has some color differentiation between them. But each one of them has like a bracer made of their metal.
I was thinking a diadem, but I like the bracer too.
I mean, both are good. Like the diadem kind of smacks a little of royalty, which they might be trying for. They have, and let's keep it a little bit vague there too. They have a piece of jewelry that is of their metal. So if a DM wanted to go with the Magitek control device route, there you go. So who is this main person? I think we can leave the other two just kind of nebulous. But who's this main person?
I want to go some kind of alien.
What do you mean alien?
Not human.
Okay, so something, one of the other ancestries. So, I mean, let's have some fun with this. What if this dude's a gnome?
I was even thinking something like insectoid.
Ooh. Alan, is this a Thrycreen?
I'm not sure I know what that is.
The anthropomorphic praying mantis from Arthas or Athas.
Yes, it is.
It's just a giant praying mantis. It's human-sized praying mantis. They're delightful. Look them up. And by delightful, I mean horrifying. Just like almost everything in Dark Sun. What a good setting Dark Sun is.
What's funny is that was one of the choices for Cool Kids Table, The Fallen Gods. They could have either gone to the Abyss, to Dark Sun, or onto a Spelljammer. So that was kind of the three doors that they had.
I mean, they made the right decision. Spelljammer is the best and should come back. Wizards, you cowards.
Seriously, actually, please give us magic spaceships.
Yeah, give us back Spelljammer. It's a little bit embarrassing that Pathfinder did it before you did again.
Ooh, burn. Sorry, Wizard, we love you. If you want to give us money, like if you want to give us money, we will totally be spawn, but hashtag non-spawn.
If you want to just give me a job, I'll move up there. As True. Discussed in this week's Fifth Draw Wild, as time of recording, I'm cheap and free. Anyway, so we've got them. I don't remember any sort of Thrycreen naming convention. I'll look it up and we can discuss.
Maybe
that
they gave
next
up
week.
Their names. Ooh. Maybe they are called Electrum.
Yes. Yes, there's. I feel like it's a title and then Electrum. Triad Electrum? Tria Electrum?
Yeah, Tria Electrum. Tria Gold, and then Tria Steel. No, Silver.
Well, Silver. But also, what is it? Aurum?
Aurum is gold. No, Aurum is silver.
No.
Aurum is gold.
Argentum?
AU is gold. Argentum is silver.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's Argentum.
It's been a while since I've actually studied my Latin.
I have a degree in biology, and I can't remember. So
anyway, so Tria and then the metal. I like that a lot. That's a good convention. Let's bounce over then and talk about the resort real fast.
Okay.
What that? Or who that? Who dat?
Who dat is?
I mean, it's an elf, right?
Yeah. Is that like the easy proper way?
I mean, there's very few other ancestries that are so directly connected to kind of nature.
True. So are they like a wood elf maybe? Or what would have been a wood elf?
I think maybe we need to take one step back. Is this a person that's in charge of this or a group? It has to be a person, right? Because there's a group on the other end.
Yes. It needs to be more like a CEO.
Okay, in that role, I really think it's got to be a high elf.
Okay. So are you thinking traditional high elf, kind of snooty, kind of like super pompous, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so. Like, because, like, and I'm sure they have, like, some people high up in the organizational structure that are, you know, the more kind of like really into nature wood elves and things like that. But I feel like this is probably an elvish endeavor from toe to tip that the elementals are just like, cool, you're with us.
Okay. I have one counter to that.
Okay.
What if the CEO is incredibly humble, incredibly effusive, like very giving?
Okay.
Like meets the VIP guests personally, like always is he or she is the face. They are the face of this organization.
Okay, I dig that.
But behind the scenes, they are your traditional high elf. But to the public eye, it's a different persona.
I like that a lot, yeah. Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Okay, cool.
Who are they?
Seandril.
Seandril? I like that.
But they always greet the VIPs. They even sometimes will just be in like the common areas and will check in on guests and are very involved. Ooh, but they are a wizard. So there are actually multiple of them going around at the same time.
Ooh, Alan, what if it's actually not even kind of that? What if it's even a little different, where it's what if it's the automatons, and they just have like a kind of a special cloaking illusion over all of them, and they're just kind of pre-programmed with a shard of his personality.
Oh, interesting. So maybe this character is mostly in a control room monitoring.
Well, not even that, Alan. Like I think because they are a wizard, they probably have, and let's even narrow that down a little bit more. I think they're an artificer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think they're also within a couple degrees of separation of the person who built this thing.
That also makes sense.
So like a couple apprentices in between, and probably all elvish to give a good long span of time in there. I think they probably have like some distinct piece of jewelry again of some sort. Mm-hmm. That enables them to kind of see through the eyes and ears of any of these automatons running around. But I think they are the traditional high elf, but they're also really focused on making sure that this venture works. So they're kind of a hands-on boss, to the point where there is a rumor flying around all of the employees, who are treated super well,
mm-hmm,
that you never know if it's an automaton that you're seeing walking past your station giving you the once-over,
or
if it's actually the boss.
I almost see this as kind of a Walt Disney. No offense to Disney fans, you know, whatever, but like that idea of the magic, the you want every experience to feel the same and be magical, and you know, you always like the constant kind of checking up, making sure that the employees are doing well and treating, you know, or even a good example of this is Publix. You know, you I don't know if you have a Publix near you, but it's always, you know, they're very polite. They're always asking if they can help, if they can take your groceries out to the car. Like, and it's because Publix treats them well, they treat the customers well, which brings the customers back.
Yeah, like, it's definitely got to be that. I like the comparison to Disney. I think we'll get a lot of mileage out of comparing this to Disney. Whatever issues there are with Walt as a person, like, the company that he built is kind of the theme park company specifically. I think if we model it on that, we're not going to go astray.
Right.
So, I like that. Let's do we need to actually make a face for the, like, the Taurus Guild or City Council, or do we just need to say they exist?
I think we just need to say they exist, because I don't think your normal adventuring party are ever going to actually interact with them much. I think it would be a lot of intermediaries.
Yeah, outside of something like, oh, you got hired by them.
Right. Now come here.
Unless your entire campaign is on the spire doing, like, city intrigue, which actually sounds delightful, and I want to do that now. In which case, hey, you're a good GM. Make it up. Use this skeletal framework we have created for you and go nuts.
We believe in you.
You are a good person, and you can do this job. This and has been your weekly affirmation.
Hey, you're looking good today.
Proud of you. We should do that in every episode from now on.
Daily affirmations.
At least weekly from us.
Yep.
We love you and we're proud of you. Good job. And I mean that sincerely, even though it didn't sound like it, because I sounded like I was trying to move on. Maybe this all gets edited out because it's feeling weird. I am unable to disengage from this conversation and move on. Oh, no. Oh,
okay, no, I'm babbling. So now that we've discussed kind of the hotel and the council and things like that, let's move into the neutral mall. Because I feel like once we establish what's neutral, it'll be easy to polarize and go for gilded and plated.
Do you know what I mean? So here's what I'm picturing with the mall. The mall is a lot of, like, it's a mall in several senses. It's a mall as in, like, the National Mall that runs between the Smithsonian and everything in D.C. So it's a massive park. But it's also a mall in the sense that there are stores everywhere, and there are dining establishments everywhere.
Ooh, I like that.
So that you can have your meetings in there, because it's supposed to be a secure place. You can, like, some people can get, like, just day passes to the mall from the tourists, and they can go get, like, this, like, ooh, these are these storefronts that you can only find because the craftsmen are from the plated side or the gilded side, and these are their exclusive storefronts for everyone else. And, oh, look at that. That's that restaurant. That's that, like, 10-star restaurant. They brought the chef all the way from Eberron to cook here.
Right, yeah.
But there are also just got to be, like, fantasy Starbucks. And not to steal too much from the Good Good McElroy boys.
Fantasy Costco, where all your dreams come true.
They got a deal for you. Yeah, there's got to be, like, the entire spectrum is on this mall. And, Alan, I think it's divided into a spectrum.
A color spectrum.
Yeah. So it's like, hey, I'm just here for a day. This is my like vacation for this quarter. I'm just here. I want to get some good food. I have saved up for this. I am going to the Violet Quarter and I'm going to get the best meal I've ever had. And then I'm going to look at some jewelry I cannot afford, and I'm going to buy my significant other that pair of shoes that they heard about and have been drooling over. And then I'm going to go home and eat beans and rice for the next 3 months.
I like that. I like that a lot.
On the other hand, you can have a guy who's just, like, doing some work down in the plated section. Is like, I don't want to eat at this noodle shop anymore. I'm going to go up to just the orange section and get just, like, a nicer lunch, but nothing that's going to kill me.
Right, because I was, the way I'm seeing it now is that the Roy part of Roy G. Biv is closer to plated, and the Biv part of Roy G. Biv is closer to gilded.
Oh, absolutely. And the G is the garden.
Right, exactly.
Because
it's green.
Duh. Yeah. that's probably what they say it's based off of, but people are just like, yeah, no. Y'all did this on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Some gilded ass wizard did this on purpose.
And chuckled to themselves the whole time.
And now I think it's probably like a point of pride, kind of. It's like, yeah, we have the homey traditional fare on our end. You guys break banks. But yeah, I feel like that's a good environment for it. I think that might be all we need to talk about.
I do too.
Because we're coming up on just 4 minutes left, and I think part of this is going to spill over into next week as well.
I think so, too. I think that's kind of inevitable.
So, why don't we then... the council is going to be a big topic. The gilded and plated side are probably going to be bigger topics. Alan, do the elementals have names?
This might sound trite.
Okay.
Yes, but they're secret.
And only the elementals know each other's names?
No. If you know their name, you can control them.
Oh, no. That just gave me a really good plot hook idea that I have to tell you now.
Okay.
The original person who did all this, who built it, they're still alive, Alan.
Of course they are.
And they're probably coming back pretty quick here.
Yeah, I don't think we can avoid that.
I think that means we have to make another quick faction or two. There's got to be like two ends of this, like a secret Illuminati society that are his agents preparing the way for whatever they're going to do. But also the cult of the Maker, who's operating 100% on the Taurus and is... just, they started out as those, like, doomsayers.
I'm loving this.
Oh my gosh, and he's the only one who knows all four of their names. Alan, he doesn't know the lightning.
Does anyone know the lightning? Oh, okay, look, we are starting to, like, dip into stuff that we should probably save for next time, because holy crap, this is getting...
Alan. We have two more minutes, and I'm gonna drop this bomb on you, and we can call it a little early. I'm gonna drop this bomb real fast here. You ready?
Oh no!
Just brace yourself. Brace yourself.
Okay, I've girded my loin.
The lightning doesn't have a name yet. It hasn't been named.
That's why it's uncontrolled. That's why it's so chaotic. It out, oh my god!
The first person to figure that out and name it. Tips the balance.
Oh, that's good.
And there are some people who, and I think there's probably like a couple people who know that and just can't be bothered. Like, that they're not going to seize that power, but they're deathly afraid that the Maker knows that and is coming back to do that and to seize control.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I guess the real bomb that we're ending this episode on is this. What's the real point of the spire, Alan? And we'll see y'all next week.
Keep on forging.
You can find Alan at Alan_Sells on Twitter. You can find Matt at Matt Hoathly on Twitter. You can reach the show at Forging_Worlds or by emailing us, ForgingWorlds@FifthDraw.com. This show and the rest of the Fifth Draw family of shows can be found at fifthdraw.com. Forging Worlds is presented under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.